Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll have Predators General Manager David Poyle coming up at 8:30, so looking forward to that conversation with him. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our buddy Adam from Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Robbie, congrats, man.
Thanks, brother.
This is, you say girl?
Yeah.
It's different. That's a different life, man.
Dudes are
something, but, like, girls, you can't do anything. Like, it's just, you're paralyzed, man. You can't discipline right. Like, you can't make good decisions. I don't know. It's just,
excuse me?
With my girl. I got two boys and a girl, and it's just different with her. Like, she gets away with everything.
she's going to get away with a lot. There's no question about that.
I mean,
I think you're going to make a good dad. I think in preparation, you guys don't have to do this. They should put you with Jared, you know, leading up into the birth. Because I think that would be like a good test of patience, and you have to, there's no reasoning with him, and there's no reasoning with a child. So I think it would be a good thing for
maybe
you.
Maybe on something.
Hey, man,
not a bad idea.
Y'all are doing good this morning. I think, and this is where I think Caroline was wrong, the first thing that Rain Carthon should do should be to figure his quarterback out. And it doesn't have to be today. I keep hearing everybody's so sure it's going to be Tannehill, man. And I'm like, why? Why is everybody so sure about that? Like, he's expensive and maybe not, like, across the league expensive. But if you have so many gaps, I feel like he's expensive. And you could probably end up getting a cheaper option that's not going to be too big of a downgrade, you know, and Josh Dobbs even, you know, I'm not saying he's Tannehill, he's not, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you got an option. Everybody's so sure and still so early. That's my only problem with it. I'm not saying Tannehill's not the answer. I'm saying it's February and we have a new guy who's not emotionally tied to Tannehill. So I think we're all just like way too early.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Adam. I'm not convinced that it's going to be Tannehill. I just think when you look at the odds, right?
Yeah, I'm anticipating that sense. It will end up that way. I'm not saying it's over. He knows.
I mean, the other options.
But I think ultimately, once you go through everything, that's where they will come back to.
Right. Like let's go through the realistic options, right? Like you could trade for Rodgers. You could trade up and go get your quarterback of the future. You know, other than that, what are the options?
Me. Yeah, like, I don't know. Yeah, like, again, if you want to go Dobbs, if you want to do a career backup or go Malik Willis, go with a rookie or, you know, second-year player who was not good as a rookie, again, that's fanking, okay? So if that's what you want to do, go get somebody in 2024, be high in the draft again, lose next year, do it. But if you are trying to win next year, like, why are you better off going to the quote-unquote cheaper option? Who comes in here and gives you a better chance to win than him? I mean, he's in here with these guys, and he has won, and he's won two playoff games, and he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league 2 years ago, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, there's
he also botched his last playoff game.
He did. And there's another part to this. Like, the Carthon part of it is interesting. Like, I'm totally with Adam there. Like, when you bring in a new general manager that either didn't draft the quarterback or didn't trade for the quarterback, has no attachment to the quarterback whatsoever. Like, I do think that's a thing in the league.
Yeah.
I think that's a real thing. And people, like, when you make general manager changes, I mean, in a lot of ways that puts the previous regime or quarterback or whatever it is on notice. The question I have about this situation is, like, ultimately when it comes down to the quarterback position, like, does Vrabel's opinion matter more than Rand Carthon's in this one? And I think there's a chance it might. Like, if Vrabel wanted a new quarterback, I think they'd probably go try to get a new quarterback.
Yeah, like, if Vrabel is adamant, like, I believe in this guy, Rand. You know, I've been here with him, and I think we can win with him. I mean, I think for the new guy coming in, is this going to be a big fight?
Like, is your first move as the general manager going to be like, well, I hear you, Mike, but we're going to go find another quarterback?
Yeah. And again, can he do that?
Right.
Even if he wanted to do that, you know? I mean, in two weeks, they're going to be in Indy, and it's going to be the meat market, and a lot more information is going to be they're going to gather, and other teams are going to gather about these rookie quarterbacks. So, I mean, until you even get to that point, No, of course you keep an open mind. I'm not ruling out that they could become enamored with someone in this draft and want to start the clock on that. And, like, I mean, Rand Carthon, that's the funny thing, is Rambis had never got this chance.
But, yeah.
You know, I feel like every GM, it's almost like you think about college football coach, like, you should get your 5 years, get your players, you know, get your full recruiting classes in, and then we judge you, you know, unless it's really bad, which does happen. I feel like NFL GM, you should be allowed to draft your franchise quarterback at some point in your tenure and, you know, go from there. But also, I guess, you know, it didn't happen for Chris Ballard either. He came in with one who bailed on him. But for the most part, I think most GMs do get that opportunity. So when does Rand Carthon get that opportunity?
Well, and to your point, and you brought this up several times, have been pretty adamant about it. Like, you've got the number 11 overall pick. You should be, if you're the Titans, along with identifying all the other needs that you have and who could possibly fill those needs, like, part of your draft process has to be, you know, acting like you've got a quarterback that you want to take and evaluating every one of those quarterbacks and seeing what you got there. And if you like one enough, maybe you do make a move up to go get one and do it that way. But you've talked about that since the day the season ended in terms of, like, if you're evaluating these quarterbacks in the draft, you need to take that part of it very seriously if you're the Titans this offseason.
Absolutely. No, I mean, and proceed as if you're drafting one. And again, we talked about this last week, and it got totally misinterpreted to the point that Kaharski's texting me. You know, if you don't like one of those three guys, there will be other players available at 11 who I don't think you should take at 11. You should not take Hendon Hooker at 11. You should not take Anthony Richardson at 11. You could, which is the words I said. Kaharski's weird friend sends him a text and, like, says, Rexrow said they're going to take Hooker. Oh, really? Is that what I said? But could you move down? Could you if you love Hendon Hooker, you don't need to take him in the first round. You could go that route. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles are almost Super Bowl champions based on a second-round quarterback draft pick that at the time I was like, why'd you do that?
Yeah, they got Carson Wentz. Why would you need him?
Seriously, you got Carson Wentz. You need a good player. You're going to take a flyer on Hurts. He's not going to. So, shows what I know. But a lot of people also don't know. Dennis, I got to say this, man. I think you have to do this. Lourdes Stanley.
Yeah.
Lourdes. Which, is that Madonna's daughter's name? I think it is.
Yeah.
I think so.
Lourdes?
Yeah. Lourdes Stanley is a pretty sweet name. I'm just saying. Just throw it in there.
I mean, Terry Crisp. I'm not even sure Crispy actually knows my real name. He just refers to me as Lord Stanley. So
there you go.
We'll just maybe.
I never knew any of this.
Maybe that'd be the way that we go.
He's available for babysitting, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
I'm apparently not allowed to babysit.
Yeah,
so.
That's as we've discovered on the text line. So do you agree with Adam that the most challenging part of it is quarterback for Rand Carthon as he starts things and gets rolling unofficially with the beginning of the NFL offseason?
Well, so 2 weeks from now, so they'll get through that week. I mean, look, at that point, after all the film, and because there's a lot of work that goes into, I mean, every freaking throw, right, these guys. As of the end of this month, they may be like, none of this is, we're not mortgaging the future for any of these guys.
Could be.
And Tannehill's good, and that's it. So I don't know. It may not be that hard. You know, right now it may be like, you know what, this team's built to win with Tannehill. Let's make it as great around him as possible. O-line receiver, defense is good, need another edge guy, blah, blah, blah. And then at some point, you know that down the road, you do have to address it. That's the thing. If you don't address it now, like, you know, it's not too far down the road that you do.
We will continue this discussion coming up here in just a few minutes. I do want to pass along some breaking news in the NFL. The Colts have officially named Shane Steichen as their new head coach. So the long, exhaustive coaching search for the Indianapolis Colts is officially over. Shane Steichen, the new head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Joe, your reaction?
Well, congratulations to Colts fans who were ready to absolutely melt down like no other meltdown had Jeff Saturday gotten the job.
Yes.
So, look, as it turns out, it was a thorough search. They talked to everybody in the world, and, you know, you have to wait. Someone's in the Super Bowl, and they hire him. So it actually looks like a legitimate professional football team move. But we'll see. Once they get Will Levis, all will be well.
Long interview process for the Shane Steichen part of this thing. 12 hours in the same room with
Will Jeff Saturday
Jim
be
Mercer?
The O-line coach?
Maybe. That'd be something.
Again, I'm not ruling out Jeff Saturday as the GM now. That would be.
Chris, we appreciate your work. We'll see you.
Ballard, thanks. Bye.
Wes in Clarksville, Jaredine Stanley. We got a lot of really good suggestions here.
Yes. Several great suggestions on the text line. We'll continue to take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. Lots of Titans thoughts to get to coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I have a four-pack of wristbands to give away to the 50th Annual National Wild Turkey Federation Convention at Opryland coming up on Wednesday through Friday. Be caller number 561-5737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a four-pack of wristbands to the 50th Annual National Wild Turkey Federation Convention at Opryland coming up this Wednesday through Friday. 615-737-1025. David Poyle joining us at 8:15. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans. Elliot on the text line says, the first order of business is extending Big Jeff. It gets the fan base behind you and helps with the PTSD with A.J. Brown. This is from Elliot on the text line. So that is the biggest challenge, top priority in Elliot's mind for Rand Carthon.
That's an important one, no doubt. No doubt that's an important one. You know, and I don't know when that could end up happening in August. You know, I mean, you're right. If you did that, then that would be like a, all right, fans would be excited about that, I think. I also, as we've talked about, as you look at the draft, I mean, if you really, really believe, I don't know, like you want to move up to one, you know, Big Jeff could be a trade chip. I would not recommend doing that. I think I would, if you're trying to win right now in the National Football League, you have a guy like him who can do what he does.
Yeah.
You sign him long term. But I'm just saying, you know, to keep your options open, that he would be a veteran of high interest to some
for
teams
sure
up ahead of you in the draft. So,
well, if you're trying to move up to one, that may be part of what it takes, right? Unless you're, you know, giving them three first round draft picks moving forward.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I there's also, I've seen some people throw out there, like, you know, like Derrick Henry, for example, as a trade chip. I mean, he'd be part of something if a team, you know, wanted him right now. But like Derrick Henry straight up right now in this league at his age, I mean, you're probably talking about a fourth round pick.
Probably so.
Something like that.
Yeah. Dustin from Hopkinsville says, the difference in the Titans in Kansas City or the Bengals is they went all in on quarterbacks. We're trying a formula that's a shot in the barrel. Maybe we win one Super Bowl with Henry as our backbone and the middle-of-the-road quarterback. Those other two teams, contenders for the next decade. It's just getting old. It's from Dustin from Hopkinsville on the text line.
Okay, well, first of all, maybe we win one Super Bowl. Okay, well, that's the whole idea. If you win a Super Bowl, then there's no argument anymore, right?
Right.
Now, I have my doubts that that's going to happen, but that's the whole thing. You're trying to win a Super Bowl. I mean, look, if you could get yourself to be the absolute worst team in the league and get the number one pick in the year that Joe Burrow comes out as a number one pick, good for you. But how do you plan that? The Chiefs is a little bit different. And it's funny because the Chiefs situation in the draft of 2017, similar to the Titans situation. They have a good quarterback. They have a good team. I mean, I understand the Titans lost 7 in a row, so is it a good team? But, you know, it's been a good team. They have a good core. They have a good quarterback. They decided that, and let's be very clear, go back to pre-draft 2017. Yes, Patrick Mahomes, he's a first-round pick. I mean, people, there's a lot of questions. Yeah, Texas Tech, what, the 5-7 Texas Tech Red Raiders with that offense, does that translate, et cetera,
right,
et cetera. There was not a huge amount of buzz for Patrick Mahomes, but they identified him. They went and got him at 10.
Yes.
And the rest is history. So that, you know, again, can you, if you're the Titans, you believe you've got somebody here, draft him. You could still go with Tannehill next year and have the redshirt year. You could actually have a similar kind of approach to the whole thing that that the Chiefs did. And, of course, the Chiefs in that next year got into the playoffs with Alex Smith. They were a good team. They had a home playoff game. They won the division. They lost to the Titans.
They did. I mean, look, well, the Bengals part of it, I mean, they had the number one overall pick.
Right. So, I mean, look, again, if you can completely tank in the right year, good for you. But how do you plan to do that? If you're Mike Vrabel, you're like, great, let's do that, and then the next coach will get to reap the reward. Sounds wonderful.
Exactly. I mean, the Vrabel, that's the part of this that, you know, we've explored the idea of them hitting the tank. I just, the more I think about it, the more I can't see Vrabel doing that.
No way. Vrabel, I mean, no. I don't really think coaches and players this league do that. You know, I mean, it's basically
no,
like sometimes you're in the situation. I mean, Lovie Smith gave a nice double birds to the Texans on the way out, you know.
He did.
Vrabel, I'm sure Vrabel presented with any thought of like, hey, how about kind of, you know, just throwing in whoever at quarterback next year and then being high in the draft in 24 would probably like put his cigarette out on you.
Probably, but I'm just saying like if he was given – assurances of, hey, like you're not going to lose your job. I mean, it's one thing to say that, and then you go through 2 years of being awful. Like, what happens at that point? But to your point, like, the coaches and the players just most of the time have zero time or patience for tanking to go get a quarterback. There's a lot that has to go right there.
I mean, even when you talk about, you know, like NBA teams tanking or whatever, I mean, I still don't think like that's lineup related. Like, here's who you're putting on the floor.
Right.
Right. It's not like you're going out there and giving up layups on purpose. I don't think.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. You're a competitor. It's tough to get to this level of competition.
It is very tough to do that. 615-737-1025. There is a report that has been out there. LD from me, Menville, asking us about this. Have you guys discussed the report from Ian Rappaport regarding the Titans' interest in Carr? If so, I'll go back. And listen, there was a report that he put out there that apparently the Titans could have some interest in Derek Carr should he become available to them. I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, when Rappaport says this stuff, like, he was talking about, like Brady, right? Going back to the Brady report. Like, if Brady gets to free agency, the Titans could have interest in him. Okay, well, what does that mean? Like, have you talked to somebody? Have they told you that? Or is this just a, oh, well, the Titans might need a quarterback. They could have interest in Derek Carr. Like, what does that mean?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I do think in the past, with John Robinson as GM, I think a lot of those reports are more like it just makes sense.
Right.
And not being told anything. Now, maybe that'll be different moving forward, you know. But, I mean, I guess it makes sense for the Titans to consider everything at quarterback. I just would be really surprised if they conclude that that's their way to go. Move on from Tannehill. I know he's younger, but I'd be really surprised by that if that got serious.
But in order to do that, like, wouldn't you have to think that Derek Carr is your long-term answer?
Yes, absolutely.
And could you really think that? I mean, I guess, I mean, you could.
I wouldn't.
But I don't know if that's the route I would go if I'm the Titans.
He's good.
He's a good player.
Yeah. But, again, so I mean, so is Tannehill.
Exactly.
And Tannehill always comes back to the last playoff game, which was awful. I mean, to me, that shed some light on real questions about Tannehill taking you where you want to go. But, you know, Derek Carr has played in one playoff game, and he lost it. So, he wasn't especially, I guess, bad or good in that game at Cincinnati. That's it. That's his only playoff game. So,
did he throw three picks?
I mean, Tannehill has won two playoff games. Rather, you know, his stats weren't great. He played well.
How many picks did Carr throw in that game? Was it three? I don't remember.
Did he throw three picks?
I have no idea. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I guess I'll have to look back.
Well, most recent body of work. Maybe it's a little bit better for Derek Carr in the playoffs.
If you want, there you go. Didn't throw three picks, so that makes him better than Tannehill. Yeah, I don't anticipate that becoming a thing. I mean, I think Carr is the Jets' backup if they don't get Rodgers.
Well,
now, the Rodgers thing with the Titans, that to me is worth talking about.
Well, and again, we're talking about the Titans side of this too. If you're Derek Carr, you're going to have a few teams that are interested in you out there. Like right now, if you're the Titan, if you're looking at the Titans, does that make a whole lot of sense from Derek Carr's perspective? Maybe.
If you're Derek Carr, would you go right now to the Titans or the Jets?
I'd be going to the Jets. Now, He may totally not want to be anywhere near New York. I have no idea. But based on purely the football team and the roster and the trajectory.
It's sad to say that. I mean, think about like asking that question like a year ago,
right?
When the Jets were trash long. But they have a
good young core.
Good young core, they do.
Their problem is a quarterback.
So, yeah, like and to the discussion earlier, maybe he'd even prefer an NFC team anyway. Because AFC is just way better right now.
Well, would you rather go to the Saints or the Titans right now? Like, you know, I think the Titans are a better team than the Saints are. I also think your path to the playoffs, if you're the Saints, is easier than the Titans is right now. Based on, number one, the conference you play in, number two, the division you play in.
Yeah. I guess I'd probably pick Saints. And you have
Chris Olave,
a rookie, exactly, a rookie receiver who you know is going to be good versus one here who could be. Definitely has a chance to be.
I'm just saying, like, it's one thing for the Titans to be interested if they are in Derek Carr. Okay. What about his side of things? I mean, that's part of why you make this decision if you're Derek Carr, beyond the money part of it and sticking your finger to the Raiders. It's the, I want to be able to actively choose where I'm going. And that's part of the equation.
Right. So you'd like the idea of Derrick Henry, I think, in your backfield, but you also don't expect that to be for too long from now.
Exactly. So there's a lot to sort through on that front of it. Like that's the car part of it's interesting. I think when Rodgers emerges from the darkness, that decision gets made. He's either staying in Green Bay, retiring, or they decide to move on. I think that whatever happens, if he's traded, I think that'll happen sooner rather than later when he's allowed to be traded in the offseason. You want that done before you start to formulate other things if you're the Packers and whatever team's trading for him. After that, then I think you'll see Derek Carr go where he's going to go.
Pretty quickly.
We'll see what happens on that front. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators general manager David Poyle. We'll get his thoughts on a disappointing loss to the Arizona Coyotes last night and much more. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll be joined by David Poyle coming up here in just a minute. Get your thoughts in the meantime on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. A tough one for the Preds last night. Speaking of the Preds, make sure you don't miss tomorrow night's Smashville live show at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue starting at 6 o'clock. See your Predators star players up close and personal. Plus, get autographs and pictures. Preds player guests tomorrow night will be Alexander Carrier and Jeremy Lozon. Smashville Live is brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, and Superbook Sports. So looking forward to that coming up tomorrow with Smashville Live. Tough one for the Predators last night, Joe. They just, you know, you got 31 shots on goal. You had some good looks. Had a couple good opportunities on the power play, and they just never really got anything going last night.
Yeah, and, you know, it gave an opportunity for Lankanen to play, and I thought he was fine. I mean, I thought he played well enough to win that game for them. You got to beat the Coyotes.
No question about it. So it's a bad loss for the Predators last night. I went through the standings earlier. Minnesota gets a point last night, so they move up technically ahead of Colorado, who didn't play last night. Colorado back in action tonight. I think they're at home against Tampa Bay. Calgary was up 3-1 last night in the third period against Ottawa and then blew that lead and lost 4-3 in a shootout, or excuse me, in overtime. So up 3-1 in the third period, was up 3-2 with a minute and a half left, and you blew that lead. So while they did get a point, a favor done for you last night if you're the Predators by the Ottawa Senators, even in the midst of your loss.
It is the time of year for teams with nothing to lose to enjoy taking it to teams that have a lot to lose.
Absolutely, no question about that. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators general manager David Poyle, brought to you by Kubota Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. David, good morning. How are you?
Well, I think you teed it up pretty well, meaning what happened last night in terms of a team that we should have beat and we didn't beat. So it's not a good result last night, but the sun came up, and we got to get our act together and have a good game against Boston.
So, David, to that point, I mean, you joined us last week, and it was the, you know, the aftermath of the break. Things were going really well heading into the break, and it's been a little bit of a slow start coming out of the break. Not a great game against Vegas. You do get the win in Philadelphia, and then last night against Arizona. I guess, what have you made of the response? What have you seen from your team that's led to these results coming out of the All-Star break?
Well, once again, I think you said it very accurately. You know, I really felt good going into the break. I mean, three really good games. Had that team meeting where everybody seemed to, you know, get off their chest, whatever they needed to get off their chest. Seemed like everybody was committed to having more consistency, and we kind of laid an egg that first game against Vegas. Nice rebound against Philadelphia a couple of days ago. And then last night, I mean, we played a pretty good game, in my opinion, in terms of the first two periods. Lots of chances, pretty close to, you know, dominating them. But just as we've had most of the time this year, just not really getting a lot of goals. I mean, you know, we're around the net. One of the areas that we've talked about, and it was again last night, is we've missed the net or had shots blocked and in really key situations. And I think at the end of the game, it was almost a ratio of 2-1 in terms of shots that we missed the net or had blocked versus Arizona, which again is when you add up the shots and then the shot attempts or what have you, you know, we pretty well dominated the game from that standpoint. But the goals were not there, and the third period was not as good as the first two periods. So, you know, here we are with a tough loss, and we've got to we're certainly running out of time in terms of you know, having our best games, getting the points that are necessary to make the playoffs.
What's your frustration level, David, just overall with that, with the ups and downs and the inability of this team to really get traction?
Well, one of the key parts of my job is to set the expectations correctly for our team, ownership, for our fans. I really believe going into this year, and I still believe that we are one of the teams that should make the playoffs. But, you know, here we are over halfway through the year, and we're not there. So, you know, either I'm right or I'm wrong. And, you know, this goes back to all the conversation we've been having this year, a little bit of inconsistency, some down years from some players that had spectacular years last year or career years. It's all adding up to the, you know, exact same situation or the same result. It's, we're close, but we're just not there. And as we talked last week, we, you know, we had a good road trip before the break, won three games, and then we lose three games. So we've never been able to get the momentum, which all good clubs always get. I mean, we need to go on that 5 or 6 game winning streak. I mean, that's the type of thing that we need to have happen, and we certainly were hoping that was going to happen, you know, coming out of the break, but so far it hasn't happened.
David, it was a scary moment on Saturday with Philip Forsberg kind of going down in the corner and the way that he got up. Obviously, when I saw the news that it was day-to-day, I took that as good news based on what I thought it could be. Do you have any more clarity on the status of Philip Forsberg, and how do you guys go about trying to navigate the roster without him in the meantime?
Yeah, it was a very scary, you know, situation. The good news is Phil feels, you know, pretty good, but, you know, we're just being cautious and taking a little time. So I really don't have any update for you. He's not going to play on Thursday, for example, but hopefully this will be a short-term situation. As you see, we called up Phil Tomasino. You've asked me that on a couple of shows. So really, Phil got his place, if you will, on the top two lines. You know, we had a good start to the game last night. I think he had a really good scoring opportunity, but it was okay. You know, I like a lot. We all like a lot about what Phil brings. And again, it's now we need him more than ever. So for you and for those that were asking for Phil Tomasino, here he is, and hopefully he can make a difference. And he's like I say, he's not playing the fourth line like he did last year. He's going to get prime time, prime minutes, and hopefully he can produce, because we really need some goals.
Well, when Forsberg does come back, David, is there a case to be made for Tomasino to stick around, even if he's not in that ideal role, just as another skilled player who might be able to help you guys manufacture a little bit more offense?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no reason that shouldn't happen. I mean, he's going to control his own destiny. That's exactly what we would like to see happen. And I'm just repeating myself. He's going to get the opportunities here in these next games where Phil is not in the lineup. And let's hope that he can make a difference. I mean, we need somebody, we need something to boost us up a little bit. And he's got as good a chance as anyone to do that.
Predators General Manager David Poile with us here on Robbie and Rex. So David, we hear from fans on a daily basis, as you can imagine, frustrated with the way the season has gone to this point. And a lot of the anger that we get is directed at John Hynes. What's your response to that? What's been your evaluation of the job that John Hynes and his staff has done this year?
Well, I, you know, done this job for a long time, and I mean, I think that comes with the territory, whether it's the coach or the GM. I mean, it's always the same thing, isn't it? When everybody gets frustrated, you can't trade, you know, 20 players. You can make a change in management, you can make a change in coaching, and oftentimes teams do that. I for sure think that's always the easiest road, and I'm not prepared to take an easy road. This is a team responsibility. I mean, you cannot, for me, separate the coaches and the players for where we are right now. And everybody has to do a better job. I mean, there, as you're talking in this interview, I guarantee you that John Hynes and his coaching staff are as frustrated as anybody. But I just don't think that is the problem with our hockey club. I think our players have played better. And again, we have nobody that is having a career year with our team. And, you know, again, that's the responsibility. The guys got to step up and play better. I fully believe that we have a team that is capable of making plays. I fully believe that we have individual players that have not played their best this year. So, again, I'm a team guy, and it starts with me, and we all have to be better.
Deadline getting closer here, David. I guess would you have to be in a much worse position mathematically by that day or by that direct time period to seriously consider selling?
That's what keeps me up at night. You know, right now we're still below the line, not in the playoffs. We're running out of time. Just like this interview, I've been talking about inconsistency and people need to play better, but that hasn't happened on a regular basis. So I do not think we're a buyer. Let's start with that. And I think if things don't, you know, change more favorably and get in some kind of winning streak, we certainly could be a seller, but that's not today.
Predators General Manager David Poile here with us here on Robbie and Rex. So you've got Boston coming in on Thursday, David, who to this point has been a machine, one of the best teams in the NHL. What's after a game like last night, what do you want to see beyond the obvious of the win-loss result as a response against a team like that coming up on Thursday at home in your building after the way the game went last night?
Well, it might seem crazy to you, but I'm glad that we're playing the best team in the league. I mean, we need to take our game up to a higher notch, and why not do it against a top team? We didn't do it against a team like Arizona that we felt we should have beaten. They're lower in the standings. Let's see what we can do against the top team in the league. And, you know, if you can have a good performance, have a win against the top team in the league, maybe that's what gives you more belief. That's maybe what gives you more confidence. So I'm really looking forward to what our players do here on Thursday against the Bruins.
Predators General Manager David Poile, our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad, joins us every Tuesday morning at 8:30. David, appreciate your time as always. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Predators General Manager David Poile, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. We got a lot to get to on the Preds. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
always the same thing. It's not when everybody gets frustrated, you can't trade, you know, 20 players. You can make a change in management, you can make a change in coaching, and oftentimes teams do that. I for sure think that's always the easiest road, and I'm not prepared to take an easy road. This is a team responsibility. I mean, you cannot, for me, separate the coaches and the players for where we are right now, and everybody has to do a better job. I mean, there, as you're talking in this interview, I guarantee you that John Hines and his coaching staff are as frustrated as anybody. But I just don't think that is the problem with our hockey club. I think our players have played better, and again, we have nobody that is having a career year with our team. And again, that's the responsibility. The guys got to step up and play better. I fully believe that we have a team that is capable of making plays. I fully believe that we have individual players that have not played their best this year. So, again, I'm a team guy, and it starts with me, and we all have to be better.
That was Predators General Manager David Poile with us in the last segment discussing John Hines. Talked about how you can make a change in management, you can make a change in coaching. That's the easy way to do it. He's not about the easy road, and said that he does not believe that is the problem with the Predators is the coach and John Hines. So, obviously, that's going to generate a lot of reaction. Already has on our text line. What did you make of what David Poile had to say about John Hines and the Predators coaching staff there?
Well, I mean, look, I'm pretty consistent, I think, across the board. Lots of respect for the importance of coaching. It's very important. But, you know, like we talked about Todd Downing earlier on the show getting the job with the Jets, it's coaches get too much credit and too much blame. This is about players. So, I look at the roster David Poile has put together as the bigger issue right now than John Hines and his coaching staff. I would also say, though, that, and I did this, when Matt Duchene was scratched and, you know, up and down in the lineup and everything and was really struggling, and then he played had his best season last year, I gave John Hines some credit for that.
Absolutely.
So, to me, it's like if you're going to give credit when things like that happen, then how do you not then flip it around and give some blame when people are playing like they are this year? I think that's only right.
Well, look, I think it's pretty clear based on not only his comments that he just made to us, but he had some similar comments in the Tennessean last week about his view of John Hines. I think it's pretty clear that he doesn't view John Hines as the problem right now. Now,
do you view John Hines as a problem?
I don't know that I view him as the problem, but I will say, like, he just went through this big, long answer about how nobody's having a career year and the players aren't getting the job done. Well, that's your job as a coach to get them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's –
yeah, he's got to be part of it.
There's part of it. Like, you know, I'm with you. Like, the roster to me – and we spent the whole first hour talking about – the contracts that they have and how difficult it is to get out of the spot that they're in right now. And, you know, just the path forward for this team's hard to identify right now. That's on Poile. Like those are the decisions that he's made. And some of those decisions haven't worked out. So that part of it's on Poile. I mean, I agree from when he says that everybody needs to be better. I mean, I think that's clear. I do include John Hines in that this year. I'm right there with you. I thought he did a great job last year. I mean, we were talking about John Hines at the end of the year, and when the Barry Trotz discussion got brought up of him being out there and available, that's really the only time last year that I entertained making a coaching change. I was like, well, yeah, if you can go get Barry Trotz and he wants to come back and coach, sure. He's a top five coach wins-wise in the history of the National Hockey League. So, yeah, go get it. Other than that, I really didn't entertain the changing coaches last year. I thought he did a good job. So if I'm going to sit here and give him credit for the job he did a year ago, I have to – give him criticism for the job that he's done this year. Like, part of his main job is to get the players to play better.
Right. And so, you know, the meeting, Poile brought up the meeting again, which, again, Poile and Hines had a hand in that. You know, it wasn't like the players just called it on their own. Obviously, some things said, some immediate response, and now here we are back with, you know, the same ups and downs that this team has been, and a big down that just happened last night. So,
For sure.
Yeah, it helped him for a short little period of time, like hitting the gas pedal for a minute.
Now, there was some news there in that David Poile interview. Number one, Philip Forsberg will not play Thursday, so we learned that in the interview. And number two, David Poile did say that they're not going to be a buyer at the trade deadline. So, I mean, look, I thought I knew that. Like, that makes sense to not be a buyer when you look at it, but David Poile just outright came and said it, that the Predators will not be a buyer at the deadline this year.
Now, if they win every game between now and the deadline, and they –
things can change.
You know, yeah. No, but that – no, that was pretty definitive. We, as we talked earlier, it's like I don't even know how they would make it work to be a significant buyer, but he also left open, yeah, the possibility of, you know, of being a seller. I just – you know, it's like how bad would things have to be for him to really send a significant piece? And then, as we also discuss, who would that be?
Right.
Basically, Nino Niederreiter might be the one contractually, the one player that might be attractive to someone out there.
He could be. Would a Ekholm or a McDonough be attractive? I don't know. I mean, you're talking about two older guys with heavy cap hits. Now, two... I still believe good players. Like I think McDonough has settled in pretty nicely, and I think he's been pretty good. I think Ekholm, we know what Ekholm is. I don't think Ekholm is the same as he was a couple years ago, but I still think he's good. Like if you went the seller route, because to your point, like I'm going up down the list of the Predators roster of the seller route. Like there's not a ton of names that come to mind. Like would somebody take Granlund? I don't know. The Johansson to Duchesne thing, I mean, it's not happening. Yeah, nobody's taking them.
No way.
So, like, there's not a ton of names that come to mind. I agree with you about Niederreiter, but if you wanted to free up some cap space, could it be on the defense? The problem with the defense part of this thing is you don't have anybody coming up right now. Like, there's nobody really in the minors that's ready to be the next guy. I mean, we've talked about it with Fabro and Carrier, right? Like they're both going to need new contracts after this year, and I don't think the Predators would be wise to pay Dante Fabro $2.5 million a year to be a third pair defenseman. Like it just doesn't make any sense to me. Doesn't make any sense for him. Like I think there's a good chance they move on after that. But if you move on from him and you traded an Ekholm, all of a sudden your defense is not very good.
Yeah, you might. Because Carrier and Fabro are restricted free agents, you might, I guess, sign both. But you're talking about 6.75 AAV for McDonough through 26, 6.25 for Ekholm also through 26. So it would have to be a team that can take that on and is looking at it not just as like a deadline postseason move, as a long-term move. Is there someone out there who would fit that bill? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting spot. I mean – yeah, he said it. He said, you might think I'm crazy, but I'm kind of glad we're playing the best team in the league on Thursday because you need to raise your level. I hear what he's saying there. Like, I understand the thought process behind it. But, man, like, you can't drop games to the Arizona freaking Coyotes. Like, you're in a spot right now where every single point is so valuable, and you just let two totally get away from you last night from a team that hadn't won a road game since November 23rd. I mean, you can't allow that to happen. I don't care if Philip Forsberg wasn't in the lineup.
No, it's a killer loss. Huge games this week. Yeah, Boston, no Forsberg. We know that now. You know, and then the weekend, the back-to-back is, I mean, two tough, huge games. And now the margin for error shrinks because you can't beat Arizona.
What did you make of his comments on Tomasino of the possibility of being around in the lineup even after Forsberg returns?
Well, one thing I took from it is it sounded to me like, to summarize, if he plays well enough, yes, he should stay up here. You kind of put it on Tomasino, right?
Yep.
So, but at least he was receptive to the idea of, yeah, Forsberg comes back. Yeah, Tomasino could potentially stay around here, which to me just makes sense. Like, scrounge together whatever offense you can right now if you're the Nashville Predators.
Dave.
Tomasino could manufacture some offense for you.
Dave on the text line says, the only hope is for Johansson to play well enough the next 2 weeks to trade him.
Yeah,
Joe, I've tried to refrain from
definitive
statements one way or the other. Ever since we were talking about John Robinson being on the hot seat and how dumb that was and then he got fired the same day, I've tried to refrain from definitive statements. My logical brain can't see – I just can't see it. Like, there's no way somebody's taking that Johansson contract. I don't care if he scores, you know, 15 goals between now and the trade deadline. Nobody's taking that contract.
I mean, it's only 2 years after this, but I'm with you. Two years, $8 million, the way he's playing, I don't see it. Again, you'd also have to qualify, be a team who could do it, you know, could do it, make it work, and then you are signing up for 2 more years of $8 million AAV for him. Yeah, I'm with you.
This is what we talked about the whole first hour of the show today. Like, they're in a spot that's hard to navigate right now. Not only right now, as you got to make a decision by March the 3rd on the deadline and what you're going to do, but even looking ahead, I mean, you've got contracts that are going to be really hard to move. You got young guys who, it's a good thing, I think, are promising and are coming up, and they need some upward mobility on that part of it, but they're in a really tough spot to be in from that front right now. So they're back at it coming up on Thursday against Boston. I mean, obviously, that's going to be a tough game. That's the best team in the league. So can you rise to the occasion? Can you take them down at home? If you can, then maybe we forget about the Arizona loss, but that's a tough one coming up on Thursday.
Yeah, but if you play it, play like you did last night, you're going to get embarrassed at home.
No question about it.
That should be some incentive.
That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.